this, and then there's another one. I've watched a bunch of them.
What's your favorite?
I don't know. They're all, like, Playful Kiss is actually really funny.
Playful Kiss.
Yeah, that one right down there. Yes, that one. If you want...
It's based on a manga.
It's like...
That makes sense.
Stupid as shit, but so funny.
Cool.
They've already rated it 5 stars on the cover.
I would give it 4.5.
A sunny student and her popular classmate? What? He's popular, but she's sunny? I don't understand.
She's stupid.
Oh.
She's really cheerful, though. She, like, keeps, you know, trying, you know?
Right.
But she's kind of like, dumb. But, like, and he's a smart guy, but he's kind of a huge asshole. And there are parts in there that are just, like, so embarrassing and so, like, frustrating. And you're just like, why?
Who do you root for in a case of an idiot and an asshole trying to get together? You're like, I sure hope they get together and make more people like them.
I don't know. Because they don't even, like, you know, like...
You just root for North Korea in that case.
Like, they kiss, like, once.
Is it playful?
Like... It was so mean, actually. It was like, what are you doing? But I can't help but watch. It's like,
that's my criteria.
Their faces they make are fantastic, and they're always like super animated. I don't know.
Awesome.
I feel sorry for them.
On the other hand, Planet Hulk, awesome.
The guy that's an asshole probably wouldn't be an asshole if he just like. Does the dumb
that.
Girl,
so
and she'd
good.
Probably chill out and
it was
stop
weird
being so
too,
awkward
but yeah,
and
definitely.
Dumb
totally.
If they just got down.
Yay! Yay, dessert. This is probably really hot, though, so just...
What?
You know. You're so fancy.
Okay, tonight we're talking about the core from night. I don't know when was the core.
Who's got this?
Yeah,
cover?
Where's the cover?
2002.
It's over there.
Oh, my mistake.
Am I guessing right?
I don't have it.
Hold on, I don't know where to look.
2003.
So it really
wow.
was a good bit of time after Armageddon. Mm-hmm. A lot had happened. Mm. So it wasn't like a direct reaction to Armageddon, even though it feels a lot like it.
The world had turned.
The world had changed significantly between Armageddon and the core, yes. So what do we got? We got a handful of halfway decent actors in this, which
yeah.
I think kind of pulled that off. I mean, it's ridiculous in that disaster movie kind of way, but I think this was the first time I'd ever sat and watched it, and I'd heard a lot of, I wouldn't say, like, intensely negative things, but mainly just kind of, like, it's stupid kind of things. And, like, it is, but it's not it's not completely incompetent. It's kind of fun. Like I said, if you enjoy it, if you sit back and watch it like Disney's Black Hole or something, I think it's kind of fun. At least for me. I have to give my first impressions that I'm going to turn the wheel over to someone else here. This will be one of those ones where I don't, you know, run roughshod over everybody. At least not initially, hopefully. But I mean, there's some kind of clever ideas in this. It's a novel concept. I think that it's not like they made 17 of these. Like, oh, they got to go to the center. I mean, there's Journey to the Center of the Earth, which is a completely different kind of story. So I don't know. I kind of got a kick out of it. Thanks for insisting that we watch this one, Tyler. I'm gonna turn it over to you since it's your disc, and you probably have a story. Career, and you're also the scientist in the group, so you can tell us everything that is or
tell
isn't
us.
Correct.
Was
how,
it factual?
How bad it was, and how much that ruined the movie.
Insurmountable pressure is on.
I don't know where to start after that introduction. I love the core. It's terrible. We had a really good time with it, Danielle. I think we've watched it for your birthday twice, haven't we?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just have some people over watch the core.
Watch a stupid movie, get drunk, and laugh your ass off because it's retarded.
Right?
It's,
but it's really funny because there are good actors in it. And
right, quite, yeah.
And they signed on for it, amazingly.
There's some kind of intense moments where if you, like, sit there and you take it in and you're like, whoa, if that really happened, it would be fucking crazy.
Yeah. Like, if we stopped making jokes for a few seconds and really, like, watched the intense implosion of the thing.
Yeah. We got serious there for a while.
Yeah, we did quiet down a few times. We had it set to read mode.
And then we immediately made the too soon surge jokes.
You don't have to say we. I did that. There was a lot of awful puns made by someone in the audience.
The surge ones are the best ones of the night.
Right. A lot of penetration commentary.
Oh, yeah.
This is definitely... there's no way to get around that.
Earthgasm.
Intensely phallic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very phallic movie. Mm-hmm.
My favorite parts were when they would talk about some scientific method that was very convoluted, and Tyler would just say, no.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, get into it.
Yeah.
That doesn't work like that.
Well, I don't... It's just the... Well... The idea that you could stop the core of the Earth spinning is just patently absurd. You have to stop it with something. You can't just fire magic rays at it and have it stop. It's gigantic.
But magic rays are so powerful.
It's true. It's true.
But they had that line about throwing a wrench into an engine.
I know.
And melting tiny wrench into an engine.
So hot.
All their analogies were so clear.
Yes, it's true. But whereas with an engine, there's a bunch of, you know, hundreds of spinning gears, and this one, there's just one gear, and it's also a giant sphere, and it's also steel. Huge iron spinning ball of steel. I don't know where the wrench goes in that.
That's a good point. That's a damn good point. Now, tell me this, though. As a scientist, is there not, so this is absurd, but is there not kind of a more... Just like how the stuff with Armageddon and stuff about, like, an asteroid hitting the Earth is kind of like, well, that could happen, you know? Is there something about the polarity shifting for the Earth?
Oh, definitely.
Is that the sort of thing that could actually cause, like, just wipe everything out kind
of
scenario?
It not only could happen, it does happen.
Right, exactly. Yeah, That's what I was going to say. Is like, that does happen, right? The Earth shifts polarity. And is that, like, related to, like, the Permian extinction? Or, I mean, does that... What does that do when that happens, or as it happens?
I don't think it's terribly destructive. I don't think it'll kill everyone. I mean, it's relatively fast in terms of, you know, the history of the planet.
Yeah, geological time.
But it's pretty slow still. Right. I mean, a couple thousand years, I think, or maybe a couple hundred years, depending on who's doing the, you know, the data taking. But yeah, every once in a while, the poles just shift. The magnetic poles, not the actual poles.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why. So all our compasses we have now won't work.
Yes.
God damn it.
That's right.
The compass makers, the evil compass unions and mega corporations have been telling us for years.
It'll be the biggest disaster of our time.
These compasses will last forever.
No!
So I almost wonder, just like in that movie, did you see Knowing, the Nicolas Cage movie?
Yeah.
About the solar flares and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Like that sort of stuff, like that could happen kind of too, right? You know?
Yes. I mean, had me at Nicolas Cage.
That stuff is a little bit scary, I guess. You know, just the idea that, like, you know, shit happens and we don't know. And there's things that happen in this movie that kind of get washed over, and that's why I say, like, there's some good ideas or some interesting stuff in here. One is the computer hacker that they hire to basically control all the information to keep everybody at bay. Like, that's an idea that I feel like... I mean, it would be a different movie if they explored that more, but that's still kind of... It's at least to their credit that they put something like that in there.
Because it's a reality.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of is a reality check thing to some degree. I mean, not that it's realistic that he'd be able to do that or any of that sort of thing. But then you have things like the microwave, you know, when the Golden Gate Bridge gets nuked, and it's like there's not a lot of real repercussion to that. Like, there's not a real sense. I mean, like, it's sort of just there to remind us, oh, this is dire, this needs to be fixed now.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, this is really, like, and the same thing that happens to Rome. I mean, it feels, I don't know, it's kind of one of those disaster movies, and it happens a lot in those disaster movies where, like, you get all the awfulness, and you get the effect of that, but you don't ever get, like, any real sense of consequence from it. And not, like, you know, And the idea that it's a weapon that they developed and all that stuff, like, it almost seems like this was maybe a very different script at some point, where it really was dealing with those things maybe a little more, and, like, the kind of, maybe the guilt that the military would have, or that one scientist played by Tucci would have, you know? Who goes out in a great way. I love the way he goes out, just sitting in the box, waiting to die, smoking a cigarette, recording his memoirs. Which, I mean, you know, he did that at first. I mean, imagine yourself, you're sitting in the box.
Right.
You're going to light your cigarette, and then you're going to occupy your time. You're gonna do what you can in the 2 minutes that you have or whatever to pretend that you're not going to die or whatever.
And slowly realize.
And then realize it and have a chuckle and die. Yeah, he'd probably figured all that out way ahead of time. He's like, okay, at some point I'm going to hear it beep, and I'm going to know it's time to realize this is dumb and laugh and die. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Go out laughing. Sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The visual effects aren't terrible because they keep it so abstract for the most part. I mean, the stuff of that...
The giant geode!
The giant geode is pretty stupid. That's silly. Once they show it, once there's any color or any light to things, it's pretty dumb. But sort of the abstract swirling sliders stuff is okay, I guess.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it? It's almost
blowing up.
I mean, aside from it being a disaster movie, there's almost like this whole other movie where it's just them in a box talking.
Yeah. Right, yeah. and I mean, yeah, and it does almost become almost like sort of a weird horror movie on some level where like they get picked off as it goes. I mean,
yeah.
As opposed to like two or three, like, you know, like the Armageddon thing I keep hitting on, you know, where like I think how many people actually ended up going out in Armageddon? Like 4 of them, and there was like 15 of them or something crazy like that.
Well, there's Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. And Bruce Willis.
And Bruce Willis. And
Steve Buscemi. That's right. And Teddy Bear.
Liv Tyler, but she was on Earth.
She was on Earth, right. Listening to Aerosmith.
She was within the spirit.
Yeah.
Crying and looking puffy-lipped.
Pre-Elvin Liv Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Jenkins is in this. He's actually pretty good. I mean, like you said, you bring in these performers who are actually, like, you know, either were Oscar-nominated types or actually had won or would win Oscars, and it kind of helps it play straight a little better. And it does feel like that's part of it. To the movie's credit, it does play it fairly straight. It's done up like a traditional disaster movie like this, with a few moments of comedic relief. The characters are a little broad brush. There's not a lot to them, but it's kind of okay.
A lot of very tense music.
None of them were very beautiful either, I would say.
Oh, what's his face?
He's okay.
Oh, huh? Daniel will take a leave Aaron Eckhart, huh?
I guess so.
Well, it's more of a Tucci girl, probably.
He does, like, have, like, the whole crying little girl fit, which kind of, definitely sours the masculine chin thing he's got going on. But I would say overall, like, well,
that's what we call the tear catcher.
Yes. Yes. Well, Hilary Swank has one of those too. But I don't know. They're not like
They're not supermodels entirely. They're Hollywood ugly a little bit, but maybe not even that. But
they're
Hollywood
hard looking.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
They look rough.
That's a good term. Hollywood hard and good looking. I like that. But the fact that it does play it fairly straight, like, helps you just kind of get involved. You talked about the music. I feel like there's like two kinds of people doing the music, because that music, the music at the beginning when the shuttle has to crash land in the LA River is you said this came out in 2003? Well, then this is after Episode 20 of Cowboy Bebop, because that's the exact same music that they play when you're seeing a flashback to the Mad Perot.
It's like,
but doesn't it sound like it?
It does, yes.
Like I'm just sitting here and independently, I'm like, what's that sound? That sounds like a bunch of guys hit a synthesizer.
Weird synthesizer.
But it sounds almost exactly like that thing. Like, I mean, I know it's hard to even call that stuff music. It's just like synthesizery garbage, but it sort of felt the same way. But then the other music is more like traditionally Jerry Goldsmith-y kind of stuff. And it's not him that did the score, but I don't know.
Huh.
Like I said.
The score?
Yes.
Oh, nice. That's the last of those.
You keep saying that.
I know, that's why. It's more funny that way. Puns are never funny. But, yeah. So, I don't know. Thanks for making us watch this. Thanks for saying we should watch this. And I was like, I'll watch it. This is one of those movies I would probably never sit and watch on my own, but it's definitely like hanging out with friends. And
Oh, it's so worth it.
Yeah.
But you might, though. You never know.
Right.
I've watched it by myself.
No. What should I watch?
It's possible.
Yeah, I've got like this like weird hankering for something that makes you feel sick in your stomach. You'd be like, oh, I need to watch The Core right now.
I was thinking about that earlier because with Zach, I hung out with Zach and watched like three movies I would never ever watch unless I was hanging out with people, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do that with any movies on my own anymore. Like, I like a lot of good movies, I like a lot of movies that are kind of dumb too, but I was trying to think like, what's the dumbest movie I could watch on my own, and I don't think there's too many left at this point. Like, yeah, you know, like, I'll watch Big Trouble in Little China with people or by myself. That movie's fun.
No, that's a great movie.
But that's a great movie, yeah. Objectively yeah. stating. I yes. mean, it's not, but yeah, that I gotta rewatch that one again soon. That one might be worth doing, huh, guys? What do we say?
Oh, I'm in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jack, look out, Jack. Yeah. What's that, Wang? Some kind of, like, magic potion power? You're like, yeah, that's great, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, that
one's
going to be next.
The entire time. Of course. Like, what the fuck, okay.
And Wang, who just for whatever reason has to say Jack's name at the beginning and ending of every sentence.
And sometimes in the middle. Jack.
That's good. Yes.
But The Core.
But The Core. Yes. So, I mean, I don't know what else to even say. This guy kind of just washed over us. I should have recorded us watching it.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
That's a whole different setup and scenario. It's like, then we'd have to pipe it through.
Recording us watching it was...
A commentary. I'll set up for a commentary track one of these days for something.
A riff tracks style
yes,
thing?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Very good. We can sync it up.
We'd have to think about what we'd want to do. The problem with doing that and doing it, like, well, is that you'd almost have to, like, make myself sick watching it a few times, yeah. Like taking notes, which I don't agree with. Fuck that, you know? It should be improv riff track, you know? Mm-hmm. You get it or you don't get it, you know? You know you get it. The problem is if it's too good in places, then you'll start watching it and it'll be silent for like 5 minutes. Track. Then, I don't know.
I don't think The Core could
ever We were pretty good at not being silent for a very long
time. I would say we were fairly rowdy right now. We're just really quiet.
Yeah.
No, the mic's on. It's because it's so intrusive. It's right in your face and stuff. Yeah. People are judging and listening and judging.
I forgot it was there until you mentioned it. Thanks.
Right. It's supposed to be an intrusive. So, I mean, I don't know. We could. Other podcasts do things like a favorite moment and least favorite moment. That kind of get people thinking about stuff they like and don't like to kind of spur conversation. And that's kind of a good one. I might start borrowing that one.
My favorite moment. Okay. Mm. By far, favorite moment is when he uses the air freshener to light the peach on fire. For no reason whatsoever. Demonstrates nothing. He just spent 5 minutes.
To throw up.
Yes, exactly. That's my favorite part.
So dumb.
I got a favorite part.
I'm glad you liked it, though.
Stanley Tucci freaking out about Plan C and getting socked by Delroy Lindo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Delroy Lindo says, "It's not a bad ship." Yeah. Like, that's the only reason he punched him.
Because he told him the ship was bad.
I liked his character probably the most in the whole. Because he really did feel like a guy who was out in the desert doing his experiments, and then when all of a sudden this stuff happens, I felt like he got shortchanged in the middle when they were actually doing the building of the ship. Like, I would have wanted to see a few more moments of him, like, actually, like, commanding giant teams of people to, like, get a real feeling. There probably is, like, cutting room floor stuff of that, like, to get a real feeling like this is his baby and all that other stuff, because that becomes important dramatically later.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always been good. He's one of those guys that always elevates whatever material he's in. I mean, if he's in Go or, you know, Gone in 60 Seconds, or he was in everything for a while, but he was always good.
My favorite part.
He was in Congo.
Even just where he was firing at the laser, and he was just so passionate and, like, so many woos, and, like, like, he was, like, into it, and everyone was like, and he was just like, yeah! Dusty and fucking pumped up because his fucking ship is gonna be sweet. has no idea what's going on, but he's excited and he's deep in his head.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that part. I think it's my favorite. Ship.
If it needs more blood, it'll be my blood.
Yeah.
Maybe my favorite character.
Passion! Laser passion!
Laser passion goes far. What about you, Claire? Do you have a favorite moment? A least favorite moment? Both? Really the same thing?
all of those are such good moments. I don't know if I can say I have a favorite moment, but I think a good moment that I saw and that I'm sure the makers of the film were like, this will be a great moment. was Hilary Swank when... towards the beginning of the movie, her pilot guy, commander, or whatever, was like, you're not a commander until you've lost, or whatever. And, you know, you have to make the bad decisions as well as the good, and blah, blah. And then, so later, Aaron Eckhart comes in, and he's like, oh my god, my friend died, and it really sucks. And she just, like, takes him in his arms. She's like, it's okay. I would have done the same thing. Consoles him. Is like, oh, you're a real captain now because you lost, and also you made a bad decision, and you're comforting your crew for making bad decisions. And... yeah, I don't know.
Did that happen? Yeah. I thought she told him like, no, it was three people. I don't remember her hugging him then.
No, she did because he was.
Did
like,
you make up a favorite?
Right when he no, when he was like, take off my gloves, and we were all like, later, oh, that should be later. Sticking to his hands. It would be melded to his skin, part, you know, yeah. Whatever. And she's like, yeah, we're being pretty
right.
Rowdy.
But no,
yeah.
I get you now. You're right.
But you know,
right.
Yeah.
That was the moment for there was a little few moments of parallelism and you know kind of characters reconciling things.
Yeah.
I think what I liked. Not like my favorite thing necessarily, but something I did kind of like about it is that it, as much as like it put a few of those hokey kind of like love interesty things in there, like with her tying the tie for him and just kind of like making it was kind of so obvious, and the plot was so forced into what it had to do that it never out and out felt like there was some kind of horseshit romance between them. And
yeah,
I kind of like that
too.
Even to the end when they're both sitting there floating thinking that they're going to just die at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, even and right before the end when they are like, they realize, oh my god, we're going to be okay. And they like suddenly have this little kiss and they kiss on the lips. She hugs him real quick and she kisses him on the lips and then they part immediately and they're just like, yay, we're
it's
happy.
It's celebratory.
Oh, we just kiss because that's what you do when you fucking live through the core of the earth.
Yeah, it's celebratory, not like some big, weird, sloppy, impassioned,
five
power chord kind of thing. Which I like. I like that it didn't do that.
I appreciated that,
I wish they had taken their shirts off though. In that
you
moment.
Really
I like that
you were
line.
Going. You wanted shirts off. You wanted
you wanted a little
like the end of all new X-Men.
No, it was Aaron Eckhart when they show him with his shirt off for a second. There, it's like, oh wow, he's actually in really good shape. Why did they hide that the whole movie?
Well, yeah. A little Baron Aaron.
Pretty nice sculpted man chest hair too.
He's captured my Eckhart.
Oh, mine was better.
Are we going to talk about parts we hated?
You can do whatever.
Yeah,
I hated when he put his shirt on.
So there, I feel like there's a lot of moments that I really don't like in the core because they're stupid and they're really trying to like cram a lot into a movie. I feel like, they cover a lot of stuff and they do like this whole thing and there's a lot there, but it gets sloppy. And the inside the fucking geode is...
Yes!
The fucking worst. I mean, come
huge crystals.
On. Like, oh, this one crystal got our engine all fucked up. And then, like, I was just like, oh, we need to still saw this, even though the lava's coming in, and we can just use that and go, and it's gonna fucking destroy this geode. And they say a bunch of dumb stuff, and the guy uses his oxygen to... It just is dumb.
Uses oxygen and then doesn't go back into the ship.
And dumb. Yeah. And then the other guy is like, oh, I'm just going to sit here and talk about the tide of this lava. Now I'm dead and I'm just like looking at everything and I can't do anything because I have a fucking crystal in my brain. And then there's like this like overly intense emotional outburst of like crying. Like, he died. And it's just like, oh my god, he's a retard. Let him go. What are you thinking? You're going to stand there while giant crystals are showering down on top of
That's
you?
That's right. She had that frozen moment of, like, now you're in charge kind of
thing. Yeah, she's like, that whole part of that movie, like, their first kind of, like, big, like, we're in the Earth, and so we're having this, like, little climax moment. Because they have a couple of them, and it's just bad.
Yeah,
just
I think part of the problem with it is because it slows down the momentum of the story. I think they must have felt like maybe they needed to throw that in there because otherwise it would seem too easy. Stuff. Like they just got in, they drilled, and they got there, and they did what they needed to do, and we killed some people off on the way. But
and there was another moment when they're in and they're cutting through the crystally part, and that hole opens up. Or well, it's the hole they came through, but they like look up and like, oh my god, the hole's getting bigger, and the fire and the lava's raining in. And somebody like randomly says, as they're all as the like the screen pans up, and we're looking at the hole in the ceiling of the giant geode, and somebody goes, "It's an amethyst." I was like, "What the fuck?"
Nice observation.
What?
I think that was Tucci just kind of observing that, kind of independent of paying attention to what else was going on.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, it didn't matter.
When the astronaut, like, right before he dies with the chip, like,
blasting through his head.
Yeah. He was standing, like, right in front of the laser array to check it. Even though he said, you know, just put it in safety mode, don't stand right in front of it. Come on. That's stupid.
That's
all. Well, they didn't need to go that while they were plowing through the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They didn't even need to do that.
Yeah. Did he swim out there in front of him and be like, we're good?
Yeah. And you're right, it was stupid. Right. That it was like, it wasn't as believable that they ran into a crystal that they had just been shattering through, like, thousands of.
Yeah.
But eventually, after that scene, when they ran into the diamond field,
right.
It could have been a tiny diamond inside that geode, maybe? Or is that a no moment?
Oh, no, I have no idea.
It could have been a diamond. Instead of the crystal, could have been a diamond. And then that would have been foreshadowing. Core shadowing.
Yes.
Damn it, that's a good one.
Hey, check the runtime on it. I want to see how, because it felt like a solid length, but it didn't feel super long either. Is it over two?
Oh, man, I never know where to look on these things.
It's always the bottom, usually. Like, and there's a little square box that's got stuff like that.
Ah, there it is, 130 minutes.
130 minutes?
Yeah.
So it's 10 minutes over 2 hours. Wow.
What it says.
Maybe because we had a good time watching it. It didn't feel long. Which, I mean, I can attest to because it's the first time I'd ever seen it. And usually the first watching of something is always the longest feeling.
Yeah. Super fun movie. This is like the fourth or fifth time I've watched this movie.
Really?
Is there... Why is Serge even in that movie?
It's weird. He's the French weapons guy. I guess because the French...
For French.
Deal with the accent. Still.
I'm getting too French for this.
Yeah. My armpits are stinky.
Yeah.
They tried to make... I mean, it was their vague sort of hokey attempt to make it seem like sort of an international crew.
I think that's why, but he had no purpose in that crew.
He was the weapons guy. He had done all that stuff. Yeah. He was the one that did all that, and then he had the notebook, and they had to figure it out. But it didn't end up mattering that much. They had all this stuff that was, like, all laid out super complicated, but then they realized that, like, the reality of it wouldn't work anyway. Like, we have to drop this at this exact point at this exact time, and it's like, once it drops, it's going to float. Are you going to be able to know where it's going to go or how it's going to go? Like, no, you're not. Like, it's all horseshit, you know? But if you're, like I say, if you treat it like a piece of entertainment and not like hard science stuff, then you can enjoy yourself with it and have fun with it. I mean, and that's just what you have to do.
That.
Yeah.
I'm going to treat it like hard science, but I'll still have fun with it.
Like, I mean, is there a commentary with Neil deGrasse Tyson sitting there just going, like, hitting his, like, all the time?
This is just ridiculously inaccurate.
In reality, it wouldn't probably work that way, but...
I kept my comments to a minimum.
Back to something else. Another thing I remember that I kind of disliked about it. Now, I don't know who this director is. I've never heard this director before. I don't know if this director went on and did anything else.
Probably
like
not.
John Amiel or something like that.
Yep.
I'm saying this based on no information because, like I said, I don't know the director. But it felt like there was a few moments that seemed a little... almost like a European director kind of sensibility to it. Like a lot of goofy slow-mo that didn't need to be in the movie.
Oh,
it didn't really work. And a couple times they did these weird dissolves, like it was getting kind of almost psychedelic and stuff.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work in the movie for me. And it kind of... It, not only does it bring you out of the movie when you see stuff like that, when it's apparent, but it feels... It feels like it's trying too hard to emphasize things with the slow-mo especially. And like, even
the
then...
The first one with the pigeons running.
Right, yeah,
the...
yeah. Oh, that I liked, though. I want to bring that up to something. That one's not the slow-mo, but I just thought that was like a completely insane... I mean, I have trouble now judging movies that are big that aren't necessarily good because, like, I look at, like, that must have been so hard to do that scene. Like, I don't know if those were all CG birds or not. If they were, they looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. But the rest was just a lot of stuff. To orchestrate that scene was probably pretty difficult. And all it plays as is just, like, a disaster scene. But, I mean, the fact that I forgot about it till you reminded me probably doesn't speak well of it. But I thought it was kind of good because it was not something you'd expect in a movie about going to the center of the earth. Oh, there's going to be a crazy bird attack scene at the beginning, you know?
Yeah,
so that kind of leads to, like... the ways that they were able to have a little bit of fun with the idea of, like, what if this did happen? What effects would this have on the... I mean, the little weird, creepy stuff, like people just... That guy dying in the boardroom is how you start the movie. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, there's some stuff there. But like you said, all the stuff in the Crystal Castle or whatever... It's just bad writing. It's just, like you said, it's sloppy. It's sloppy, and yeah. It's a case of... You
it
get
was
the
guy, G-spot.
Yeah. The guy sat down in a room and just like asked all the questions that you just asked, they could have figured out better ways to answer all those. I mean, in writing, it's all about, like, creating problems that you want to have be solved in a certain way. So if you... Mm-hmm. The solution is that you want to kill somebody off, like in the case of killing the captain off, you can come up with a better way to add more tension and have that have happened.
Yeah.
And they didn't necessarily do that. You know, they hand wave or they get obsessed with it, they get in a hurry or whatever, so.
He could...
We didn't like the captain enough either, I thought.
Yeah.
He was a Nike supporting douche.
Yeah. Product placement.
Yeah, they could have made his death so much more believable if it was just something very quick instead of this moment where he's standing out there just...
Like,
strolling and whistling.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
Just contemplating
if
everything.
If they just didn't have that part, it could have been the exact same thing. It literally could have just cut a minute out there and then had that same thing happen and it would have made no difference.
Yep, if he was just walking out
he was
and something
just,
got
he was
him.
As the cat, he, was, yeah. He was just the last to enter the... And it gets him, yeah. And that would be a little more, like, that would hit a little harder, too, I think.
Anything less poetic would have been good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anybody got any last statements or comments for the record on the core?
I love how phallic this movie is.
It's pretty phallic.
It is.
It's kind of hard to get around. If it's about drilling, if it's about penetrating, we're human beings and... You don't have to try that. You don't have to try that hardcore to...
It's wet, it's
like,
hot.
Relate it to sex, because that's what we do as human beings. Once we enter puberty, we are inescapably, perpetually sexually frustrated and whatever else.
Plus, whale song, hello. Incredibly sexual. Am I right?
That's new to me, but okay.
Of course.
Must be a chick thing, I don't know. And then the whales circling at the end, that part was great. And the ones that breached and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
There's definitely something down there.
I would think that this movie...
They're circling something.
...is an unofficial sequel to Free Willy. And that's Willy. Willy jumping up and winking to the chopper. Like, yep, these guys are here.
Wait a minute. I'm going to be famous.
You sent me a fee for a reason.
Yeah. Wink. Excellent. So let's objectify the shit out of this movie.
Okay.
How many stars? Where do we go? Who starts?
Oh,
Tyler, you start.
2 stars.
2 out of 5?
I love it, but it's 2 stars.
Okay.
If it was just for enjoyment, it's... I don't know.
Dude, rate it based on the movie that it is. So you're not comparing it to There Will Be Blood, and you're not comparing it to Citizen Kane.
It would be better than There Will Be Blood, regardless.
Ooh, ouch. Ooh, we'll have to have that debate someday.
Let's go. If it's just for entertainment,
no, it's,
and also
it's for how much you enjoy. That's always what the rating is. That's how. That's why it's a
I
joke.
I can't distinguish the two, entertainment and how much I enjoy it.
Well, then you shouldn't.
3 stars.
There you go.
Done.
Right. Whatever gets it closer to what I'm going to give it is basically the answer
Very
to
good.
That question.
I would give it 3.5 unobtainium. Penetration.
Nice.
You just the and, price is right at me.
Huh?
You the price is right at me.
She did
Sweet.
Just a little bit.
Well, I don't know. Like, it is a terrible movie. There's, like, a part of me that, like, really deeply hates this movie, but then there's a part of me that's like, it's hilarious and fun. We named our garage The Core and danced in it because we loved and hated it so much. It's just, I have a weird thing with this movie. So
it's okay. Daniel, it's okay. It's not your fault. It's okay. You can give it a 3.5 out of 5.
3.5. That's where I'm going to stay.
I was entertained. but it wasn't something that was...
But like, you also weren't sober, too, so, you know.
That yeah, counts, right? I also wasn't sober. So, I'd say, like, 2.8,
2.9. Okay. We'll call that a light 3.
A light 3.
A light...
Yeah, light we'll call three. That a Budweiser 3.
Okay. A Budweiser 3. Matt?
Yeah, 3.
Whoa, just out there. Just boom.
It's super fun. I feel like it's really teetering between being stupid enough to be much better or being smart enough to be much better.
Right? That is a problem
in between. Yeah.
I think, thank God, it doesn't wink at the camera really at all. Otherwise, it would be a much more insufferable process. It would just not. It would just kind of collapse under its own ineptitude or something.
And then it would get a -3.
Yes. I would watch it as I was thinking, and I was sitting here, I mean, really, really about where everyone else is with it, except for Claire. With the well, no, actually, no, you're at the 3 also, with the Budweiser 3. Yeah, I think that's Budweiser a good way 3. To think about it, yeah. It's, I think it's, I'm going to call it a solid 3 out of 5. I mean, just everything that was put into it, it doesn't hit its marks all the way in every sense. I mean, you can look at it and be like, man, if they could just fixed a few things in the script or focused about these characters instead of these ones a little bit more and done that and this could have been, like, really good. But at the same time, this weird subgenre of disaster movies, I don't know if I've ever seen one that was really, really objectively very good. They're kind of impossible to be that way because they have to be sort of so patently absurd in terms of, like, the sheer horror of what's happening in them. They become overly melodramatic if they get too serious about it, and they become, like you said, like Matt says, they're too goofy and whatever. So it has to be about scientists solving problems and stuff. So I'm a solid 3 out of 5 on The Core, my first watch.
Children of Men. Is that right?
That's not really a disaster movie, though.
That's pretty close.
I mean, it's like a post-apocalyptic movie. No, that's Alfonso Cuarón who did Gravity.
Oh. I was just trying to think of a good.
No, but you're right. That is a good. That is a good, like, kind of post-apocalyptic movie that ends up playing more like almost like a drama, and it is. That's a very good movie.
Yeah. See that again.
A lot of good scenes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to see that one again too. Yeah, I should just buy it. I think it's cheap on Blu-ray. I'll just get that one too.
Yeah.
Bring that over, and we'll do some Children of Men.
Mm-hmm.
Little harrowing stuff. That last scene is just insane. When he doesn't have shoes, like, how great is it to add that part to it? Like, so he's stepping on broken glass, and it just follows him, through the streets, up into that building and everything. Good mention.
It's been long enough, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember
either. But I mean, like an Independence Day, like, all those Roland Emmerich movies. Oh, when I'm talking about disaster movies, you know, The Swarm.
I was just talking about Independence Day today. Coworker was like, oh, it's just like that movie, what was it, with the alien, he's in captivity, and grabs the guy, and he speaks through him, and I'm like, yes, Independence Day! Right. She's like, oh, it was awful. I was like, fuck you, I love
get
that out. Movie.
I think I want to get out. I think I want to rewatch that one, too, and get that one. Because,
mostly because of Will Smith.
Yeah. Sequel's gone.
Was that the first time that it was ever said, I have got to get me one of these?
Awesome. The best. Well, how many hours does it take them to learn a super, super highly, like,
not long.
Awesome. Jeff Goldblum, they learn how to fly an alien spacecraft. It's, like,
beyond
their level.
He hand waves his way through
it. Yeah,
it's great. Yeah.
Literally.
Big deal.
Highly advanced spacecraft.
So there you have it, folks.
We can figure this out.
Feudal Podcast approved. For a fun little disaster movie with some friends, The Core is pretty reliable, I would say.
Have a couple drinks.
Yeah, possibly. Or whatever makes you enjoy life better. Whatever lubricates things for the drilling, as they say.
Yeah.
I'm closing it off. Anyone else? No.